So we're going to continue on this morning looking at Hebrews. We've been going through the book of Hebrews together. We're going to this morning look at chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 3. And the title of the message this morning is called Hold Fast Your Confession. It sounds like a funny word. First time I ever heard this word was the day I got saved, and the pastor stood up in front of the church, and after preaching the message, and I had the conviction of the Lord in my life about my need to get saved, although I couldn't explain it to anybody. I just knew that God was drawing me, and he pulled out the scripture that said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. And I had come from a Catholic background, so when I heard the word confess, I was thinking, they want me to go up in front of that church and explain all my sins to the people here. But that really wasn't what he was looking for. And sometimes when you hear the word confess, maybe you think of that, if that's your background. There's even some teaching today that kind of uses the word confess, that you go out and basically claim whatever you want to claim and confess it. But I want to talk to you this morning about how Hebrews 3 speaks about our confession and how important and critical it is to our walk with Jesus. So it starts out Hebrews 3:1, therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. So let's talk about this for a minute. There's two things that this says about people. One is he calls them holy brothers. How many of you know that when you become a follower of Jesus, you actually become holy? You're a saint. God does a work inside of you that has literally nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with him and his Holy Spirit living inside of you. And so he calls them holy brothers. And I want to say sisters as well. Amen. That's kind of more of a universal term. Everybody's included in this. Holy brothers and sisters. I think it's an important word because as we go through the book of Hebrews, you're going to find there are different places where there are questions or debates about whether is this speaking to Christians or not. And I believe the book is speaking to Christians. Holy brothers. So he calls us brothers. Remember what Ted shared last week, that Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brothers. And he's referring to that again here. You holy brothers, and you share in a heavenly calling. It's a call that comes from heaven, but it's a call to heaven. And there's a future, there's a hope that God sets before us. So he calls us holy brothers, and he says, you're also going to share in something in the future. We're something now, but there's something in the future. And remember Ted last week shared about what it says in, I think in Hebrews 2, 10 or 11, that Jesus brings many sons to glory. So there's this future for all of us who come to Jesus. There's something that's in our life now, holy brother, but there's something in the future called a heavenly calling. And then there's two things it mentions about Jesus. It calls Jesus the apostle. The apostle and the high priest. An apostle really is a word that means somebody who's been sent. And Jesus was sent from the Father to come to earth to bring the gospel so that we could become holy brothers. Jesus came to bring a message that if we believe it, saves us. And that is what causes us to become holy brothers. So his apostleship is what enables us to be called holy brothers because Jesus was sent with a mission. And he's also called the high priest. And the high priest was somebody who brings the people's needs to God. So as the apostle, he kind of brings God to us. And as the high priest, he brings us to God. And he kind of is this mediator between God and man. He has his hand upon both. And last week, Ted shared, as you remember, that Jesus had this unique ability because he was called 100% God, 100% man. He touches both. But the thing I'd like you to see here is that he is an apostle and a high priest of something. What is it? It's our confession. He's the apostle of my confession. He's the high priest of my confession. So what is this confession? You know, it's not going into tell a priest your sins. It's not just claiming things that I want in my life. What is this confession that he is the apostle of and that he is the high priest of? The word confession is a word that basically means to agree with or to say the same thing, to agree. So it's basically we agree who Jesus is and we're willing to make a public declaration of who Jesus is. And it's when we make that declaration, in a sense, we are pledging our allegiance to him. I hope that everybody in this room is never ashamed to stand up for Jesus. Jesus said, "If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father." There is something about putting us out there publicly that I'm a follower of Jesus. And sometimes that might even mean ridicule. It might even mean persecution. In some places, it might mean death. Jesus, it says, I think in 1 Timothy, Jesus himself made a good confession before Pilate. And he stood up and he claimed the truth and proclaimed the truth. And he didn't back down even in the face of suffering. Pilate said, "Don't you know I have the power to bring life or death?" And Jesus still stood upon his true confession of who he was and who the Father was. Let's look at some scriptures here that kind of show what was this mission of Jesus as the apostle of our confession. Romans 10, verse 9. It says, If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. And you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So there's two things here. There's something that's happening in my heart. I believe something. What am I believing here? I'm believing that Jesus literally died for me. He was buried and he rose from the dead. And I'm confessing him as my Lord. And when you confess him as Lord, it's not just words you say. It's not just a prayer you pray. You are pledging allegiance to him. You are saying, "Jesus is my Lord. From this day forward, I am surrendered to him." And this is what you're doing when you become a follower of Jesus. I mean, you may have come to an altar at some point in time and prayed a prayer and think, "Oh, I prayed a prayer, I'm going to heaven." It's not about praying a prayer. It's about Jesus is my Lord. And this becomes my confession. This is my belief. This is who I am. And so Jesus is the apostle of my confession. He came with a message. It was the good news of his kingdom. And when I heard the good news of his kingdom, or anybody does, we repent and we believe. We believe, yes, you did die for me. And from this day forward, I'm surrendered to you, Lord. That's my confession. And the Bible says anybody who will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So this is Jesus as apostle. And you can see that the result of that is you become a holy brother. My confession of Jesus makes me the holy brother. For with the heart, one believes and is justified, and with a mouth, one confesses and is saved. Don't be afraid to confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be fearful of it. I mean, don't walk around with pride, but be willing to confess who you are in Jesus. 1 John 4:15 says, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, Amen? What is it that made my life different? God came to live inside of me. I mean, I was like all of you. We were all, I'll call us buttheads. At some level, we were this. But what happened is we heard this good news, this message of the good news. We recognized that Jesus did something to change my life. And we said, I confess you as my Lord. And when I confess that Jesus is the Son of God, it says God comes and lives inside of me. That's what makes you different. If you are a follower of Jesus and you've confessed him as your Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him to death, you're not just a better person. You're not just a churchgoer now. God lives in you. And how many of you know if God's living in you, you're going to be different? You're going to be different. So he's the apostle of our confession. He's also the high priest of our confession. And the high priest is one who represents the people before God. So what is Jesus, what is he bringing to God? How many of you know I don't really have anything to offer him? I can't give him my good works. I can't give him my merits. I can't give him enough money. The only thing I can actually bring to Jesus is my confession. You are my Lord. That is what made the difference in my life. That's what made me a holy brother. That he came and lived inside of me. And now I stand here empty-handed with nothing to offer the Lord other than my confession. And he is the high priest of my confession. He takes that and he turns and gives it to the Lord. I mean, you can see, I hope, how important it is that you have a good confession. It's really central to this relationship we have with Jesus as our high priest. It says in Hebrews 4:14, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. I mean, we know he's there at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. What's our response? Hold fast to your confession. You remember this book of Hebrews, it was being written to these, you know, Jewish people who had become Christians, and now they were being tempted to turn away from Jesus to go back to the law because of persecution. And he's saying, hey, listen, Jesus is there at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for you. He is the high priest of your confession. Don't throw your confession away. That's what he's representing. He's not representing your good works or your money or your merits or anything. He's representing who you say you are. And I am one who believes that Jesus died for me, and he is the Lord of my life. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. How about you to know that to maintain your walk with the Lord is a fight? You know, we have an enemy, and we have our own flesh, and we have the world. All these things fight against what we're trying to do here. So fight the good fight of faith. And then he says, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So I'm taking hold of that. See, we kind of stand in this place, what Ted called last week, this in-between place. We're here now, but there's something yet to come. And so now we are holy brothers and sisters, and there is this heavenly calling. There's this future hope, and we're in the in-between place. And thank God that Jesus came as the apostle and gave me the message. And I received him, and I'm a holy brother, but I'm still in this in-between place. I haven't yet attained that promise of eternal life. I'm still in that in-between place. How do I get there? I maintain my confession. I never give up on my confession that Jesus died for me and that he is my Lord. That's the only thing I have. That's the only thing I can give him. What else can you give the Lord to get you into heaven? Nothing. It's our confession. All right. Look at the next slide. I just kind of drew this little picture here. I didn't draw it, actually. AI did it. I said, I need a picture with two hands and a cross in the middle, and that's what it gave me. So here's what it says. Jesus as apostle brings God to us, and Jesus as high priest brings us to God. And what stands in the middle of that is our confession. We responded to his work as an apostle, and we have a confession about who he is. That's what saves us. You are saved. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. If you confess he is the Son of God, God actually lives in you. And now we're there in this middle place, and he's saying Jesus is now the high priest of our confession. He's bringing that to the Lord. The confession we have is so, so important. And as these people in this book of Hebrews are being tempted to turn back away from Jesus, he's stressing the importance of hold on to this confession. Don't give up on it. Now, Moses was faithful. I'm in verse 5. Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant. Now, last week we looked at how Jesus is greater than the angels. Now he's saying Jesus is greater than Moses. Moses was like the guy. When you think about a Jewish person or the people of Israel, Moses was the guy. He saw the Lord face to face. He received the commandments. He brought the law to the people. He just was so revered. He brought them out of Egypt, took them through the Red Sea. Moses is the man. And he's saying, hey, I want you to know, yeah, Moses was great, but Jesus is greater. And so Moses was faithful in all of God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. What's that mean? It means we'll be reading later on in Hebrews about different things Moses did in the tabernacle and all the different things. All Moses was doing was setting up a system of worship that kind of was a type and a shadow of a future reality, which would be found in Jesus. So Moses didn't bring the reality. He brought shadows of the reality, and it pointed to the future, which was Jesus Christ. So Moses was a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later, but Christ is faithful over God's house. Moses was faithful in God's house as a servant. Jesus was faithful over God's house as a son. And how many of you know there's a big difference between a servant and a son? And that's the contrast he's drawing here. And it goes on to say, we are his house. Where is the house of the Lord? We are his house. Well, what about Jerusalem? If there's going to be a house built in Jerusalem, I don't know. But it's not the house he's in. We are his house. We are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence. What's that? That's my confession. What is my confidence? My faith in what Jesus has done. It is my confession that says, Jesus died for me and he is my Lord. Hold fast to that confidence. We are his house, and I want you to circle the word if you write in your Bible, because it is a, what's the word I want? It's a what? It's a condition. Thank you. It's a condition. We are his house, not by default, but we are his house if we hold to our confidence, hold fast our confidence, and our boasting in our hope. What do you think that is? That's that future calling. So even here, he's saying that us being his house is linked somehow to this confession that Jesus is my Lord, and that I'm going to hold fast to that, and as my high priest, he's going to bring this to the Lord. So the rest of the chapter, he talks about how is it that we actually hold on to this confidence? Now, what's the practical thing? So number one, verse 7. Let me get a drink here. It says, therefore, when you read therefore in the Bible, and you'd be surprised how many of them there are in the book of Hebrews. This therefore means you look at what's said before. We always ask the question, what's the therefore? Therefore, it's based upon what he just said. So based on all this about this confession, holding fast to this confession, therefore, the Holy Spirit says, and I love that because this right there, that little statement right there, the Holy Spirit says, is another verse in the Bible that just shows that God is the author, because he's actually quoting from a psalm that David wrote. And he didn't say David said XYZ. He said the Holy Spirit said XYZ, because the Holy Spirit was speaking through these people. That's how the Word of God came into being, that holy men wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So therefore, the Holy Spirit says today. Now, when he says today, does he mean like 2,000 years ago when this was written? Or does it mean like today, today? It's like today, today. Even today. I love that God speaks to us today. I feel sad for people who don't believe he does, because it's hard to go through the book of the New Testament, the book of Acts, and see that God only speaks through Scripture. It is a huge way that God speaks, but he speaks through his Spirit in other ways. And he's telling us today, there's that word if again, so this is the condition, if you hear his voice, what's he say to do? Do not harden your hearts. One of the most important things you can teach a new believer, if you're trying to disciple somebody, is the importance of hearing from the Lord. Learn how to read the Word of God. Learn how to draw from Scripture. Learn to have this open heart to Jesus. And when you hear his voice, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So the first thing we do to keep this confidence, to hold fast to our confession, is there is personal responsibility. I am the one who needs to hear. And I am the one who needs to respond. Oh, my pastor will do that for me. Nope. Nobody's going to do that for you. You, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. So now he's pointing back to Moses' time. You know, when Moses, who was the great leader, he's saying, I want you to realize that even Moses, who was a great leader, had people who weren't listening, who weren't following, who weren't holding fast to their confession. So don't harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness. Later on, a few verses, he says, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. That's how God describes them. And then he says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you, who? Brothers. Take care, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. Now, I think it's pretty clear that he's talking about brothers, believers. He's using an example from Moses, children of Israel, coming out of Egypt, and because of the hardening of their heart, and being led astray, they didn't make it into the promised land. They were set free from Egypt, and they were sort of in this in-between place, set free, not yet in the promised land, and they didn't make it. So he's given kind of a warning to to the people in the book of Hebrews. Today, if you hear a voice, don't harden your hearts. And I just want you to see in these verses here that I just have up on the screen, the word heart is used three different times. It's really an issue of our heart, how we respond to Jesus. If you find that you're not responsive to Jesus, it's not because you're not educated. It's not because you're not a seminary student. It's not because you haven't studied the Bible. It's because there's something going on in your heart. It's really it. And really, it's to be able to say, Lord, you know what? I need to hear you, and I want to hear you. If you want to hear the Lord, at least start by reading your Bible. At least start there. You know, you might say, I never hear God when I pray. Well, start reading the Bible. Because the Holy Spirit said, today if you hear a voice, and he was quoting from the Scripture. The next thing is, so you have personal responsibility. And number two, there is what I'll call corporate responsibility. What does it say? Verse 13. But exhort one another every day. So today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Now, exhort one another. That's community. That's me taking an interest in other people and what's going on in their life. It's me being willing to speak into the life of another person, and it's also me being willing to have another person speak into my life. Christianity does not happen in isolation. It happens in community. We're called into a family. We're called to labor together, to work together. And so part of our being able to remain steadfast and hold to our confession is, yes, I have a personal responsibility to hear from the Lord and to walk in it, but I also have a responsibility to pour into the life of my brothers and sisters. And I would encourage you, if you don't have that relationship, seek it out. Find somebody. Join a Bible study or join a small group or start a small group. But get yourself around some people that you can speak into their life and they can speak into yours, because it doesn't happen. The Christian life does not happen in isolation. We go out witnessing, and I'm telling you what, it's amazing to me how often, and it's very frequently, when we run into people who used to be part of a church, and for whatever reason, either they got hurt, saw some bad things happen in a church, somebody offended, or whatever, it doesn't really matter the reason, but their view right now is, I don't have to be in a church to be saved, and that's true. You don't have to be. But you're isolated. You're not in community. You know, when you have Jesus is seen as a shepherd with sheep, and he talks about leaving the 99 to get the one, what's he going to do with the one? He's coming back. He's coming back into the fold. He doesn't say, oh, it's okay with you. You don't need to be in the fold. No, he wants you in the fold, because a sheep who's isolated is open to the attack of the enemy. So I'm just putting a plug out there to say, get connected. Be part of a body. Be part of a group, a small group, a Bible study, a local church. Get yourself around Christians who can speak into your life and that you can speak into theirs. Exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Amen? For we have come to share in Christ if, there's that word again, if indeed we hold our original confidence. What's that? My confession. We share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. And I don't know about you, but I expect to remain faithful to Jesus till the end. Whether that end means the day that he takes me home or he comes to get me. That's my confession. That's all I have to bring. I have nothing else to bring to Jesus but my confession. And I want to stand strong on it. And I need to have people to speak into my life. If I start to waver in some way, say, hey, Kirk, what are you doing? I need to be open to hear. Yeah. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. That's that future. Hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Amen? Without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Jesus promised this. I'm going to go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm banking on that. And the only thing I'm bringing to you, Jesus, right now is my confession. You are my Lord, and I believe you died for me, and you were buried, and you rose again. And I'm standing on that. And he's saying, well, I'm your high priest, Kirk, and I'm taking that to the Father. And I'm saying, praise God. So, hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises faithful. And then it says, let us. There's again, these are words that speak of community. Let us. Before he said, today if you hear his voice, now he's saying, let us hold fast. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. So I hope you can see how the confession we hold to is both a personal responsibility, but it's also a corporate responsibility. And you should look around at the brothers and sisters sitting right here beside you and say, I have a responsibility in their life. Somehow, God has given me a responsibility for this person. And step into it. Verse 15, finally we're closing up here. As it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? See, the question is, who is it that didn't make it? Well, they were the followers. Again, there's a big debate. Are they really going to fall away? I think the answer to me is clear from what he shares in this particular chapter and other places as well, which we'll look at later on. But he's giving a warning to these people who are followers of Jesus. Listen, these guys who walked with Moses fell away. They did not make it to the end. Don't let it happen to you. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, for who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all who left Egypt, led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. And remember the warnings we just read above. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Don't fall into the category of unbelief. I was reading a little bit about unbelief this week, how that we all sometimes face doubts. We have doubts that come. This is not what unbelief is. You might have a doubt about something you got to work through. Unbelief is sort of a willful saying, I'm just not going to obey God. You choose a different path. So I'm going to have you guys stand as I close. I do have one last scripture there, Matthew 10:32. Whoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father. Don't you want Jesus confessing you before the Father? Then confess him before men. I'll just sum up what I had to share today, and I'm going to have Yeah, let me finish up what I'm going to say, and you can share, and then Randy's going to come and lead us in prayer. And then I would like you to stay around for a little bit. We're going to have a baptism right after this. My good friend Devin's going to get baptized today, and that's awesome to be able to participate and see that. Jesus came to us as apostle. We believed him, and we openly confessed that he is the Lord. Right now, we stand in the middle, already his brother and sister, but not yet in the glory that he promised. We bring nothing of our own, no merit, no achievement. The one thing we do have is our confession. Our continued confession keeps us faithful to him as we move from where we are now to the future that he has prepared. Don't cast away your confidence. Hold fast to your confession. And I love this definition of confession better than me going around confessing I want to have a new car or a new lawn or something like that. The confession of who Jesus is and what he's done for my life. Ted?
Yeah, I just wanted to share something. Day after Thanksgiving, I was out in my woods cutting some wood. I have a lot of branches that come down, and usually they're dead, they're dry, and I just cut them up and I can burn them right away. Well, this big, it was like a vertical part of a tree, you know, like it had split or, you know, wide off at the bottom, and it was probably 40, 50 feet long, and so I start cutting it up, you know, and like the top of it had very live twigs and branches. It actually, you know, looked like it probably was going to bud, you know, in the spring. And as I cut down 40, 50 feet of this log, every bit of it was perfectly green, perfectly healthy. And then I got down to the very bottom part where it broke off, probably in the big wind we had the day earlier, there was half of it rotten. And it just really struck me how all this length was fine and looked great and looked healthy, but there was rot that had crept in there, and it was fine until the real strong wind came and the test came. And the Lord just spoke to me. It's like, guard your heart. When the Holy Spirit reveals sin in your life, deal with it. Don't allow it to sit and grow and fester, because eventually it will be revealed. And it will take with it all kinds of good, healthy stuff, whether that's your own life, the things that you've built, whether it's your family or people that you influence. That sin will have a devastating effect one day. And interestingly, that word confession is also used in 1 John 1:9, where it says, confess your sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive you, which I didn't realize. It's an interesting thing that word is the same word as the confession we hold to. So not only is it that confession of what Christ has done, it's also the confession of how much we need him because of our sin. And so we just need to be ruthless and take those things that the Holy Spirit brings and just take them to Jesus and confess and repent and change so that stuff can be taken care of.